When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forever Dog.
Sassy Tarot. Sassy. Sassy Tarot. Welcome to an audio journey through the world of tarot with me, Veronica Osorio. So sit back, relax, and let the journey begin.
To see the cards from today's episode, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Sassy Tarot Pod. That's S-A-S-S-Y, tarot, like a regular tarot, T-A-R-O-T-P-O-D. Sassy Tarot Pod. Sassy Tarot Pod.
Welcome to Sassy Tarot. My name is Veronica Osorio. What you're listening to is Peter Mark Kendall, who will be accompanying us throughout this episode. And I want to thank you guys for being here. I want to thank you for having listened to as many episodes as you have. And I'm currently very excited. I just like got extremely overwhelmed emotionally. And then suddenly I'm like a child who wants to just talk and get into this. So I have here a guest that I'm excited. I have never met you before, right?
Right.
Okay, good. We're good. We're checking. Check. So her name is Amy Zimmer, and you have seen her on Comedy Central, Funny or Die, and she has a monthly show called That Was Fantastic here in New York. It used to be?
No. No.
It's your own show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, hell yeah. Okay. I'm very excited about having her because we have psychic conversations and more. Hi, welcome.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm very excited.
You are?
Yeah.
So you were just, I think let's get right into this. You got here when I was finishing recording the previous episode.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess you got an idea of how this kind of goes.
Yeah.
But you were just mentioning that you have one foot into the psychic world. And I'm just curious about...
Well... Yeah, well, I don't know if I have a foot in the psychic world. I just know that I've always been sort of internally, privately very interested in all of this.
Yes.
And it's been a part of my life for a long time. And it's kind of a running joke with my friends that I know a lot about it. And I don't like talking about it unless I'm with close friends. And I've done readings for them. And my aunt's a psychic. So this sort of like belief system's always been like agreed upon, I guess, on
in your family
and yeah,
in your context and your
specifically among the women in my family.
So I have a question because a couple episodes ago, we talked about the word psychic and how it can be really loaded,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So it's what you see outside in windows that says psychic, neon lights, and psychic. Like, what does that exactly mean? And when you say your aunt is a psychic, means that she self-proclaims she is. I'm not saying that she's lying, but I'm saying she definitely, it's like even being a comedian or like a writer, it's so hard to be like, or an actress, it's so hard to be like, I'm a comedian, like straight up.
Yeah.
Label yourself.
Yeah.
As an accomplished one label. So she calls herself a psychic. She knows she's psychic.
Well, she, I don't want to mess up how she identifies as a medium, but she's a working clairvoyant and sort of like a support life coach. She's also an O Mag insider. So oh, she works with O Magazine in some capacity.
I mean, that's the top of a game of someone like that. Because
yeah, she's she's got something going on. She's given me readings, you know, before. She texted me actually this when I got an email about this. She texted me at the same time.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was. And I told her, and she just said, ha, in like a kissy emoji, kind of.
I know. Yeah. Like, yeah, things definitely match. I love synchronicities like that, because I always wonder, do they mean something? And I don't think they necessarily have to mean anything other than the moment where you went, oh, yeah, okay, there's something here. Whatever, or like, I'm in tune. Or I'm in, I don't know if you feel the same way about stuff like synchronicity.
No, I do. In fact, I felt like there was some sort of, you know, I'm very quick to, I guess I choose to believe in those synchronicities because they, I've spent enough time, not putting value into them. And I don't know. I like to talk. I don't know if this happens to you, but I like to talk about sort of like this spiritual stuff with a lot of people who are skeptics or don't believe in this type of thing.
That's exactly the people I want to talk to about this, because I want to know. Well, no, I mean, I'm not saying that talking to someone who believes you can go so much deeper in terms of what you, if once you agree upon certain things.
Mm-hmm.
But I like talking to people who don't believe. So.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's.
Yeah. So I basically always want to like sort of justify the way I believe in these things, because I don't want to be seen. I'm very aware of it seeming real cuckoo and stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm always like, well, I'm choosing to believe in these signs because isn't it much more fun?
Yes.
To say yes than to not, you know? And
it
hopefully
is.
It won't. I've gone the other way of letting it direct my life a little bit too much without my own agency and awareness about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when I talk to people who don't believe like seeing a feather on the ground is like a sign of an angel or something. Not that
especially
I do.
Especially where there's a bunch of pigeons.
Pigeons?
Yeah.
My mom kind of does that. She'll text me pictures of feathers on the ground and she'll be like, I thought of you today and look what I saw.
It's a bunch of dead pigeons.
Yeah, a bunch of dead pigeons.
Like shed.
I'm like, thank you.
A pigeon fight happened in that corner, Mom. There's poop and there's a bunch of...
She'll be like, look.
It happens. It's... Yeah. I try not to see a sign in everything. But there are things that I can't help. And I've tried to maintain a balance between the two. And sometimes it's really hard because sometimes I want to drift into this other thing into this esoteric world where signs and things happen.
When's your birthday?
June 6th.
Gemini. Cool.
What's your sign?
I'm a Taurus.
A Taurus. Mm-hmm. A Taurus is, we get along. Apparently it's hard, but my closest friends are Taurus, so.
No, here's the thing with Gemini and Taurus. Here's my take on it is that I feel like we can always pick up where we left off very quickly. I feel like there's, even though air and earth is two different things, I feel Geminis are, they're able to find the fun within each other very quickly. And while they might have different value systems and how they like live their life, they have a lot of fun together and can kind of understand each other.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And each kind of, because they're, you know, the next sign and the one that follows the other, they sort of have qualities the other is moving towards.
Yes.
You know.
Yes. I find that my friend Jose that I'm living with right now is Taurus, and I am a hyperactive, hectic person mentally. I go into scenarios so fast and then I believe them and then I go back and then go to another scenario.
Mm-hmm.
This has always been me. I don't know if it has to do with Gemini, but it definitely has to. It's my personality. Very mental, floating in the air. And he's definitely a homebody. He definitely likes like snacks and
snacks.
And have control of his schedule.
We could get another riff on snacks.
Yeah. He can
Fantastic.
Nutella, beef jerky, donuts, anything that's just very like, I will watch TV and eat this. Yeah. He's the king of food delivery, ordering. Mm-hmm. So he's very Taurus that way. He loves cleaning his house. It gives him so much pleasure. I'm like, no, no, I'll clean. And he's like, no, don't take this from me. And mm-hmm. I was like, okay, cool.
The home is very important.
It's huge. But what I like about our relationship is that I'll go, are we doing this? Are we doing that? I'm just like, seven things that I say really fast. And he's like, shh, no, no. This is what we're going to do. You're going to shut up. We're going to, like, I'm going to shower. You're going to wait for me. I'm going to get the burgers. We're going to eat them. And then we're going to watch 30 minutes of TV, and then you're going to leave my room. And I was like, thank you.
Yeah.
My little Taurus.
Yeah, yeah. Because
he, like...
A little structure.
He tied me down, and all I want... I like creating trouble just to see. I like testing what will happen if... Like, just, like, mental exercises of what could happen. And I'm consistently, I feel like, poking people to see how they react.
Yeah.
Very horrible. And he is one of the few people who has so much structure that it knows how to, like, catch my air. He's like, Earth Egg knows how to, like, catch. I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah.
It just, it works. And then there's another friend who's also a Taurus, and she's good at being like, why don't you blank? And then I'm like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
Great. So grounded. Awesome. Yeah. All I wanted was someone to contain me, like to be like, contained.
And don't we all?
Yeah. I mean, truly.
And if we could get a riff on don't we all?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Oh, you were asking for riffs. Like,
yeah.
Okay, okay.
And it's happening.
Yeah, it is happening.
Sort of incredible.
I know live music throughout an entire read is definitely...
A blessing.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask you about your... Have you, like... So you feel like you have maybe... Do you feel like it's clairvoyance, or... Let's just get a little more specific about stuff.
Well, yeah. So I would say I have... This has been my relationship to spirituality. I've always been interested, and it's been around in my family. And I spent a period of time where I just sort of very privately... would study it sort of like anything else because it was I always was sort of interested in it and fascinated in the way, you know, you can have meaning made through these things. So I studied it for a while, and then I was like, I'm in too deep. This is truly psycho. Like, I just, and it's not that I like did anything, you know, I have a lot of I feel like I have a lot of disclaimers about, like, you know, I'm interested in sort of occult things, but I have a lot of complicated feelings around the, that's so in vogue right now, you know what I mean? And people who aren't, like, I'm very reverent for all of it, you know what I mean? So I don't like running around saying, like, I'm clairvoyant and do chart readings, and I like saying my aunt's a psychic because I think that's a perfect anecdote, or I don't know. It says everything about...
Also, it seems like that's what she does.
It is what she does.
Yeah, that's what she is.
So basically, I got too into it, and then I took a break away from it for a few years. And then I'd say in the last 2 years, I started talking about it with friends more. Some people who've been on the pod and some people who haven't. And I started, like, casually doing readings or talking to them about stuff, and it ended up being a very, like, positive sort of... again, like, therapeutic or affirming kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I just started doing that more and more very, very recently.
What do you mean doing? Like, what does that entail? Because I feel like if people are listening to the podcast, they're probably, like, already somewhere where they're, like,
in
kind
it.
Of reading about it or at least interested.
Yeah.
So you must be... Where are you at with this? Or what do you do?
Well, what I did is I've given a lot of friends readings, and
you read the tarot.
Yeah. But also, you know, it's funny this question comes up right now because I think I'm changing a little bit my practice around spirituality, where I think I've I think I'm somebody who really enjoys symbols, which is why I'm also interested in this stuff. I'm very interested in like the meaning you can ascribe to things. That's how I am as a person. I like symbols, so I like this stuff. I love interpreting symbols and stuff like that. So, but recently I've been wanting to be more present and focused, and sometimes I felt like, okay, well, I'm sort of studying this work and doing this, but am I really having intention, like in things like my breath or things like the focus of staying with the feelings that maybe push me towards wanting to know meaning through the symbols or something like that. You know what I mean?
I know exactly. I've talked about this. It's been a conversation recently, especially Peter and I have had this conversation because I'm someone who... I'm obsessed with symbols. I'm obsessed with anything that has to do with, I don't know, just mentally stimulated by communication,
mm-hmm.
how people express themselves and what meanings things can have, and yeah. how much meaning you can almost like attain from one image.
Yeah.
Like that's so juicy to me, you know?
Yeah,
And I'm consistently like ruminating mm-hmm. with that. So
I think I'm thinking a lot recently too about like how do I take inventory of what I feel, or like what meaning I feel through my feelings. You know what I mean? That might be spurred through an image or just like an experience, you know?
Yes.
It sounds really, really, simple, but it's so hard to just sort of sit and feel what's moving through you.
Yes, I have been working on staying present, because it's so easy to go into this world
mm-hmm.
and it's so easy to consistent for me it's so easy to consistently be somewhere else,
right,
in my mind,
yeah,
all the time. Mm-hmm. I live in the air in some other place where no one is there. And I love New York for that, because I can both be extremely present and look at everyone,
mm-hmm.
or I can just go into my world and be who I need to be,
mm-hmm.
and no one fucking cares.
Yeah.
And I'm consistently escaping. So I have been, especially this week, that I've had such a... emotionally present experiences. I went to the beach, I went to a river, we did some art, like I've been with friends, it's been great. I have the impulse of going to my mind
yeah.
kingdom where I so happily live, and then being like, no, just look at the mountain right now and be in like what's going on, where in your body,
yeah.
how is it happening? It's uncomfortable. Yes, I feel uncomfortable. I feel sad. Yes, I feel sad.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just trying to live where I live.
Right. I think it's also... I was kind of thinking about this morning, about how... also, like, how subconsciously we've... All of us, regardless of, like, spirituality or what we're talking about, how we've learned... Like, how staggering it is to... If you are with that mountain and everything that comes up that you feel you shouldn't be feeling while you're being present, you know, the avoidance of all those emotions, and how subconsciously, how quickly that can be like lost to the phone or what, all that type of thing, you
yeah.
know? And that it's not, there are so many feelings we're like in constant avoidance of, and when you do have the stillness, you don't want to feel whatever sadness or anger or the thing that feels discordant with, like, no, I want to feel stillness or peace, you know?
Yeah.
And like the struggle to even allow yourself to feel that, I feel like is so hard, and I feel like gets harder with everything that we take in all the time.
Yeah, it is very hard. It's hard to... I don't feel bratty about feeling sad. I am very bratty. Let's just say bratty. Mm-hmm. I'm very impatient, or it makes me...
I feel bratty about feeling sad.
Yeah.
It's
like, I don't want to. I don't want to feel like this. But mostly, to me, sadness can be it's hard for me sometimes to like identify it and understand that that's where I'm at and that's okay. But mostly not knowing what's coming next makes me crazy. Right. It makes me crazy and I need to sitting there and being like, it's almost as if being sad or upset or mad or uncomfortable doesn't matter as much as how uncomfortable I am for not knowing what's coming next.
Yeah.
But the truth is that what's coming next is that I will feel more sad and uncomfortable and sad and good and awesome and happy and present and bored and, you know, like...
Like for the rest of time. And also specifically in what we do, it's like...
It doesn't matter.
Kind of the rest of our lives is
not...
Even if, you know, everything happens the way we'd like, the whole rest of... The life we've chosen is not knowing afterwards,
it's
you know?
Literally, purposefully that. And it's partly why I like it. Because, I mean, not partly. I think there's a reason we're not 9-to-5, you know, office. Like, purposely in a career that implies that context. And it's in that security. And I think it's because of that thrill of like... remaining you while life goes however way.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been thinking exactly about that a lot. It's pretty fascinating.
It is. Sometimes I get very frustrated because I don't know where the hell things are going and I'm like, I just want to know. And sometimes an instability lasts so long that you're like, is this ever... But then anytime I get stable about something, I get restless. Like, it's a forever, it's a never
it's sort of like
changing.
For me, I feel like I get through, go through, like, breakneck periods of busyness. And then I'll have, like, one day where I don't have anything going on. And it's, you're back to sort of, like, what's next? And it's, like, you haven't had a moment to come up for air for X amount of days or the months. And then you have one day and it's, like. Flatline, like drone sound comes up, like,
and it's also like that to me is same as like reading my cards every day or trying to find an answer every day. Like it is still ruminating.
Ever take breaks doing that, or do you feel like it helps? It helps with routine.
There are, I feel like every one of my days is very different. I don't pull cards out all the time and nor every day, and I purposefully don't do it on Saturdays at all. Shabbat, like, just
Shabbat.
Yeah, just that's my non-day.
Can we get a riff for celebrating the Sabbath, Peter?
Is that
thank you
supposed to be some kind of okay? Thank you.
Perfect.
Great. So I like, you know, like I was on set and then I just do cards every day and then I pull like one same like conflict card like five times and I was like, but I'm having such a good day. Is this going to ruin my day? And then eventually I did get to a point where I could have entered into conflict with myself or how uncomfortable I was feeling because I was feeling uncomfortable. And then just knowing that that card was there reminded me to be like, no.
Mm-hmm.
So it's I like when I have a morning focus on something. It gives me like, so I like oracle decks for that. I don't so much do tarot for my daily because I don't need to know my future.
Yeah.
Or I don't need to try to like do a divination. I don't need to do an x-ray of the energies available at the time, all the time. It's too much. But I like pulling like an angel card and being like meditating on something for a second and then maybe keeping it throughout the day. So this morning I had this card that was about your, I talked about this, but it was about a card where like your life is a reflection of who you are internally. And I just, I don't know. It's on my mind very heavily. And I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that. I like that focus on something in order to like self-improve.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily work, it's more like it is almost like an act of observing. It's like, okay, I feel uncomfortable now. Why do I feel uncomfortable? Am I tired? Is there an insecurity that's coming out? Is there is my body not okay? Like, is it because I need time alone? I don't know. It's just, it's good to have that kind of focus.
Yeah.
Do you do it daily, or do you like currently do it? Or?
I don't. I think in the period when I was like sort of doing, when I was learning a lot and wanting to practice it a lot, I would do sort of daily. I'd pull a card, or I would look at aspects for the day, and I try not to do that. I try to sort of, you know, live my life with free will.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
You know, sometimes at the end of a week, I'd like to look back on what was happening and what was happening in the stars and see how, if that had anything to do with anything I did or not, you know?
Yeah.
Could be yes, could be no.
I was talking to my friend Jose yesterday, who I mention all the time because I live with him, about how I think things that this weekend happened, it was the same planets that happened a couple weekends ago, and I couldn't help but, first I read it online, like it was on my, I don't know, promoted or whatever. So I couldn't help but finding out about it. And then I was analyzing like what was happening that weekend. And that's the weekend his brother passed away, and it was just a very hard time. And yes, all those topics did come back. And I was like, well, that's no different than maybe any other weekend where like some topics do come back anytime. Anyway, but they helped me like deconstruct like three or four specific things into like it's like a quarterly evaluation of your life where I look back and I'm like, okay, what did happen the last 2 weeks? Like what was up with this, that, like what's the evolution of this like project? But it's not a project, it's just like things that happen. What I don't like is so that way I can do like a evaluation of things in my life.
Yeah.
But I don't like ruminating for signs or like signals. I don't like when it goes to that spot.
Yeah.
So that's where I like try to draw the line and be like, ultimately I choose, or like it doesn't matter what my cards say, I can just go, I'm going that way.
I think when there's so many avenues now for talking about this in a way that there wasn't like even like 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And I think people don't often remember how important somebody's lens is when they are talking about spirituality or doing divination or having takes on like your zodiac sign, you know? People, I mean, we're all different people with different lenses interpreting each other's things, and that's just about as loaded and can be as toxic as you doing that in a analysis or at work or something like that, you know? I think sometimes, and that's something I try to be conscious of too, is being mindful of, you know, like good or bad interpretations are so loaded, and there's so much of that, I think, historically also in tarot, astrology, divination. There's it's kind of like, even it's like studying any history, that history was like codified by a bunch of guys that are
Western,
long and dead,
Western.
And ascribed a ton of meaning to things that we are deciding to change our definitions of that historically, like socially and politically and spiritually. And I think sometimes, you know, when you look up things on the internet, you know, it can just be another case of misinformation sometimes.
That's for sure.
And that this process of spirituality or whatever interests you about it is a process of your own clarification. And it's not to say you can't look at the history of it and look at historical interpretations of it, but the same way we're questioning the history we've all learned growing up, it's meant to be challenged in a like whole way.
Yes. I feel like I like the shortcuts it's created for myself in terms of how I catch myself.
Yeah.
For example, I didn't know that much about astrology, and then I found out about the planets. Of course, it's like an X-ray of your. It's not just your sun sign. It's like your rising.
Yeah. Do you know your chart?
Yes,
I do. What's your moon?
Virgo.
Okay.
Virgo moon. Earth.
Virgo moon.
Earth. The airiest earth. The most air earth.
That's why you probably have fun with earth signs too.
Yeah, my rising is Sagittarius.
That's fun.
Sun, Gemini, and Virgo moon. I feel like it all complements each other because Gemini wants to learn everything, collect info and communication, and then Sagittarius wants to teach it.
And Virgo moon wants to
organize.
Inspect.
Yeah. Organize emotions in a way that's very rational. Yeah. So it's very unemotional in a way.
Do you know,
Even though I'm so deeply emotional that, you know. So
no, okay. I think it is emotional. I mean, we could go into it forever. But you know what I learned recently about moon signs? Or I knew this, but I was thinking about it.
What's your moon sign? Sorry.
Mine is Pisces.
Okay, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's heavy.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm like proud of it. And also like you have to give it up for...
I feel like
the all-encompassing Pisces moon.
Yeah, it's...
If people don't know what Pisces moon is, or like moon signs.
Yeah. Please go ahead. Okay. Sorry, I interrupted you.
Well, if you don't know what your moon sign is, well, there's a whole chart. So how I explain it is that, you know, when people talk about all these planets and houses and stuff, it's essentially a snapshot, and it's your birthday, your birth time, birthplace provides a map of the planets. In an astronomical way, not astrological,
a real actual snapshot of where the planets were
exactly
when you were born.
And the kooky part is if you decide to put symbolic meaning into those planets, but which is what astrologers do.
But it's happened for millennia.
Yeah, no, of course I'm on board. I'm just like talking to like a made up skeptic that I'm like in my head.
I am always talking to that person too.
Me too.
You're there when you're listening somehow.
And you're listening right now and you want to know your moon sign so bad.
So bad.
So your moon sign is like sort of the interiority of your feelings, your mind. It also has a lot to do with your mother. So
yeah, you're female.
Mm-hmm.
You're...
It's connected, you know, it's sort of genderless, but it is connected to your mom growing up or whatever that presence was for you, a maternal presence is for you.
That's interesting.
So was your mom analytical? Is your mom analytical?
No, my mom is a wild Pisces. Pisces.
Oh.
That's why I was like heavy.
Yeah,
but I know.
My aunt's a Pisces, the psychic, the clairvoyant.
That's what I was gonna say. There's like your Pisces moon must give you that foot in the other world, which is
I want it or not.
It's heavy. That's what I mean. It's like it's deeply emotional, intuitive with the collective, in a way that can be also heavy because the collective is heavy and I don't know. I see Pisces. This is not something I studied, but I see. Every single Pisces I've met as someone who somehow channels what the air of the whole is. So, okay, so let me explain this better.
No, I get it. I'm with you.
The communal airs. So it's the most extreme, like, we are all one.
Mm-hmm.
We are the world, we are the children, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's also, like, the deepest, darkest of the collective.
Yeah.
And I feel like Pisces moves through both of those waters. And it's heavy because it's the rawest of the top and the bottom the everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, and it expresses itself differently with every person. Every person's different, but it's two polarities and they're very concentrated.
Yeah.
That's what I feel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Highly emotional.
Yeah. When I learned about it, I was like, oh man, I think people ascribe a lot of meaning to that stuff too, where it's like, oh man, I don't want to have a heavy moon placement or something like that, but.
You're you,
and it's, you know, it's in good company.
And also you can...
A lot of good people.
Yeah. So my Virgo moon was like, I didn't know anything about it. I was like, all right, I don't know anything about Virgo. There was, other than they share Mercury with Gemini, and they're both like about...
Yeah.
So they say like Gemini collects the info and Virgo classifies it.
Yeah.
So it's good sibling, maybe the relationship. And I was like, what does this mean for me? Like, I'm so emotional. It doesn't feel like a Virgo. But then it's true that when I'm sad, I clean. And it's true that when I'm like, the second I found out my best friend's brother passed away, I was like, oh no. And then I ran to the kitchen and took the broom and like literally cleaned the entire house. And then I caught myself. I was like, Moon in Virgo. So that's what I mean, like shortcut.
Yeah.
So like now that I know this, when I catch myself doing what I would do in my life and I have a name for it, I don't feel like a crazy person. Yeah. I don't feel like I'm floating into this, like, why would I clean if I'm like, no, there's logic. This is, I don't even need to know about the Moon in Virgo. I just need to accept that this is how I am as a person, that I organize my emotions in a way that's, that this serves me. I'm not questioning myself. Instead, I'm seeing how I'm serving myself.
Right. And I think that's how any of this should function, which is that also that you can know these things about yourself and have like immense capacity to change. You know, you're not bound to whatever these placements are. You can, if you choose to get into it, you can find relief maybe in knowing like, okay, I'm a Pisces moon or I'm a Mercury Gemini or something like that. But
Mercury is in Taurus, by the way.
Yours is?
Yeah.
Me too. Well,
it's uncomfortable.
Yeah, it is. It's very well. It's very well.
It's very like, I think people understood what I said, but no one looks like they did. So
I feel like Taurus Mercury is very straightforward.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think that,
or like matter of fact, or just like, you know.
I see.
Anyway,
I like that.
Yeah,
I like that vision of it better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Well, you can sort of make all this up is what we're saying. You sort of make it all up as you go.
Well, it is what you were saying about interpretation, because some random website can say so much about your moon in Pisces, and some other website may say a lot, and you identify yourself with certain things and you can choose. Literally, you can choose who you want to be. And
yeah. And you can feel what resonates, and, you know, you either decide you want to believe that or you don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're free is what
you're
we're saying.
Free, okay.
You're free bird. So did you study astrology? Do you do charts? That's what you do.
Well, I do it. I have done it. Yeah.
That's a lot. I mean, I just dipped my toes into it and it's very complicated. It's a very complex set of things that you have to put together in order to kind of even get a picture of a person, because a person is very complex. And
I think I'm doing one tomorrow, and it's always like you always have to kind of specify, like, okay, how are you cool with going? I was kind of wondering with this, I was like, how deep are we going to get, you know, on the pod? Because I always have a disclaimer with like friends that I do it for, like, you know, sort of once I see what's going on, I might touch on something that's incredibly sensitive or deeper than you were expecting to go. And I don't have any awareness of that. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like the interpretation of the chart, I'll say something and somebody like will be like, what, you know, kind of get caught off guard. And sometimes it just gets incredibly intimate.
Yes.
Immediately. And
it is.
Yeah.
I feel like that with a tarot, where I will say something and then the person, I've had people cry or be like, that's exactly what I'm going through. I didn't even realize. And then it's like, wow, this person just got a load of like either validation or finally realization about something that was happening to them that they maybe didn't know was coming their way. And it is a lot. With the chart, I wanted to, I don't know. I had the person who got me into astrology is my friend's dad, who has been studying it for a long time. He promised to do my chart, but he never did. And he saw my chart and he was like, there's so many tensions here. And then he was like, you have very powerful, famous friends right away. And I was like, why? And he was like, the 10th house is in Scorpio and you have, I don't know what else. And I was like, Pluto and on the 10th. And I was like,
oh. Bjork has that placement.
Bjork?
Mm-hmm.
My favorite.
Bjork.
She's my very favorite.
Really?
In the entire.
She's got Pluto on the 10th. She says, she talks about it.
Really?
Ask her. Yeah, ask her.
Oh, okay. I will ask her.
Yeah.
My moon in Virgo, my mom being a Pisces, like I haven't, it's, he saw things there that I was like, this is crazy that you saw this in my life. Because, and that's when I started, I didn't even think about astrology as anything. And I was studying tarot, and I do get like flashes of things sometimes. It's, I don't know if it's clairvoyance, but I know things. I just know them. And mm-hmm. sometimes it's like a color or a shape or a feeling or a energy. And sometimes I see it clearly. Sometimes I hear it. Mm-hmm. So it comes in all kinds of ways.
Yeah.
But the planets was something that it felt to me like, I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
Oh, yeah. See, I feel like kind of the inverse where I and they're the same thing. You
it
know
changed.
What I mean? They're the same
because of this person.
Right. Yeah. I stayed away from tarot because I was scared of it. And then but I was, you know, delving into the same thing. It's the same thing. All the cards in the deck have astrological implications and,
yes.
and vice versa.
And I don't study them all. I feel like a deck is never ending. Like, I'll never know my entire deck all the time. Even if I know every card, even if I've done so many reads, like, mm-hmm. I just. Some decks are. That's how I feel about also Judaism.
Yeah, let's talk about it. Can we get a riff for Judaism, please, Peter?
It's like, don't start with that
Can
shit.
Can we get a hot lick for Judaism really quick?
Okay.
And if that doesn't make you feel connected to an Old Testament God, I don't know what will.
I feel like the main thing with Judaism is the idea that there's nothing but
yes.
one God.
Right.
One God. And then no one asks you, I mean, we're Reform people. Never ask you what that means, what you think with God, what is your relation. No one is asking you shit.
Yeah.
You just have to know this one thing. And that chasing that idea, which seems impossible to both, like, I find it possible and impossible. I hate it and I love it. I, like, chase it and I
yeah.
can't stand it. It's so rich to me.
Yeah.
Just some, the one thing, one thought that makes me, you know, I don't know. Work so much makes me feel good about, I don't know.
Yeah, sounds pretty Jewish.
So, like, the tarot deck feels like that to me. Like, I'll always chase it. I will both know it in my core and not at all.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, Judaism practice. I mean, you know, Judaism was connected to astrology and the tarot through Kabbalah. And it was, you know, slowly over history, they
separated.
Sort of distanced.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. I watched A Serious Man the other day and, like, wept.
Of course.
You ever do that?
Yeah.
You ever sit down with a serious man and think about everything that's come before you and the legacy?
And how much survival has happened and, yeah.
Yeah, and but also, like, the history of sort of, whatever. Well, I was going to talk, I mean, that movie's so much about an idea of Jewish maleness that I think is informed.
Yeah.
Like, I think Judaism has such interesting relationships around maleness and masculinity. Mm-hmm. I mean, and, you know, the buzzword alert, if we could get a riff on the buzzword, because I'm going to say it right now, a patriarchy, you know.
You stopped it in your tracks.
Yeah, exactly. Sort
yeah,
of.
That's what patriarchy feels like. Like
yeah.
a sort of like a vacuum that echoes.
Right. So, but really, like, the Old Testament God is, you know, an authoritative, like, a masculine God.
Very toddler looking at daddy.
Sure. And I think the movie examines that. And I was just reflecting on all of that. I saw A Serious Man. I recommend everybody do the same.
I endorse this. Yeah. I feel like yes. So I want to get to the part where we pull some cards, and I've been trying to, like, feel it out. I feel like the Dali Tarot deck set itself apart from. Uh-huh. I'm in New York, so I brought just the decks I have here, and this is my oldest deck, and the deck that somehow I know both the more and the least about.
Okay.
Which is great. It's great for me, for my life.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, I want to see if... So what I'm going to do is just pull three cards.
Okay.
And we'll talk about it. And I'll tell you what I see. And you tell me what you see because you read the cards. I don't see it as a divination of the future. I mostly look at tarot as, I don't know, maybe something we need to reflect on. And I'll pick up on things and let you know, and you'll know your own reality, of course.
Which is a serious man. The plot points to a serious man.
As we're approaching the high holidays. Well, it's,
we're approaching the high holidays.
Not when this comes out, but we are currently approaching the high holidays. I'm stressed because I'm going to be in Boca Raton and I don't have a... It's not where my temple is, and I...
But you'll be all set. You'll be all set.
I think so. Oh, actually, my rabbi just emailed.
Your rabbi just emailed you?
Because I'm trying to... I asked her, please, do you know anyone in Boca? And she was like, I do. And I was like, please, please help me.
Yeah.
Because I need to be there for my grandma.
I don't know what I'm going to do. If this comes out, this will come out after the high holidays.
Yeah, but we can still talk about what we're doing.
Yeah, well, I was kind of going to ask the audience if they're doing anything for the high holidays to sort of invite me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I have a couple invitations, but they're all in LA, so that's that. I'll try never to be out of town for the high holidays, but my Catholic family is doing their own thing. So so that's that. Okay. So if you can cut them, shuffle them, whatever it is that you need.
And how many ways?
Twice. And then we'll pull out some cards, and then, so can I pull my chart?
Absolutely.
I'll pull my chart, and did that come out?
Yeah.
You can pull three, however you feel.
Like, you want me to pull them, or you pull them?
Would you pull them?
Okay.
Would that be okay?
Sure.
You don't have to if you don't feel like that's correct.
Let's see what happens.
Okay, let's see what happens. Pulling cards and break.
Okay, I've got... These fell out. It's four. Should I take one away?
That's okay.
Okay. Whew, I'm jittery.
Because we were going to pull a general, like a bottom of the deck energy anyway.
Oh, but I love bottom of the deck.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
If four wanted to come out, it's because four wanted to come out. Come out. Okay, I'm logging in to my Astro. So, are we doing this?
Yes.
Okay. So, chart's coming. Sorry.
Okay.
So, we have the Ten of Wands.
Okay.
And then, do you know the order or just pull them like as one? Okay. I don't do reverse. I don't know if you do, but I'm going to leave them like that just so we can see them. Okay.
Is this the Ace of Pentacles?
Yeah.
This is the...
Ten of Swords in reverse and the King of Cups in reverse. So we have the Ten of Wands.
Yeah.
We have the Ace of Pentacles. We have the Ten of Swords. And we have the King of Cups.
Interesting.
So... I feel like you're in a... Okay, definitely you're in a moment of closing some cycles, letting go. It is the Jewish New Year.
Right.
But let's just not... focus on it like that, but it might be because I feel like the Jewish holidays are finally attuned with the cycles of the human throughout a year because it's the fall. In the fall, that means 10 to me. It's death. It's just letting go. The old leaves fall, shed, so that we can first use them as compost and second so we don't break later. We're like, so I feel like You have been really working hard in developing yourself, and in a way, I know this card, I don't know why, I feel like this guy wants help, but wants it to be offered, wants people to offer help. Sometimes I see this card as someone who, like, purposely says no, or, like, doesn't want anyone to help them, or someone who... sometimes it's frustrated because no one will do it, so they'll pick it up and they're kind of like resentful. In this case, I feel like there's a little bit of like, maybe you wish someone would come in and also offer the help. I don't know if it's correct or not. You can be like, bitch, no.
No. Yeah, no.
So you are being watched. And it's not, I mean, yeah, I don't ever notice this. You're being watched by the powers that be. I don't know what that means, really. I feel like more than like an ancestor, I feel like literally people with power to employ you are watching you as a hard worker.
Hello.
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 There is room for development, but you know this. Mm. You know this. And it's not something that you're not... It's not even like something that you're not proud of. So all this effort from the 10, you release all this effort in the 10 of wands and you go to an ace of pentacles. Like if something is not, if I feel like this is super clear in terms of like effort and reward. So like whatever feels like too heavy, too loaded, I can't take it. It's too much. It's been too much. It's too much of a hustle. I feel like it doesn't matter because you are working towards a goal that will generate. Definitely, there's a material outcome. It's not just like a job or money. It's also the fact that you feel like you give birth to this baby. So it's like a project that you're finally like you're working. You've been working so hard. You are being watched. Maybe managers, agents. I don't know if people who go to the show or it feels like possible people who could employ you. Mm. And will eventually they're seeing you work, and then once you go like this, they maybe jump, mm. Right? It's not as if they're overseeing this, like commanding you. It feels like this is your own enterprise, and then this generates interest, revenue, very vaginal. Mm-hmm. Maybe by the end of the fall, you'll be, I don't know what this project is, but it feels like there's a project here. In the making, or that it's already like here. And then this 10 of swords, I don't read reversals, but I feel like, do you feel like this is like this?
Yeah.
Okay, me too.
The two cards are separated for those listening, right?
Yes. So I feel like the 10 of wands and the ace of pentacles is one thing, and then there's another discourse here that it's a little more emotional.
Uh-huh.
Because this feels like labor, right? And this feels like you're closing a cycle of pain emotionally.
Peter, can we get a riff on that? Peter, a riff on me closing a cycle emotionally of pain. Whatever comes up.
This is that riff?
Yeah, that feels right.
The
sort of a bassy release.
So you have already been stabbed. You have already been suffering. You feel it's a little bit dramatic.
Mm-hmm. Well.
And there's definitely like more than one person here. But
what makes you say that?
Well, the group, it's a group card, but sometimes I don't see it like that because I feel like a disillusionment has happened emotionally, and that you're finally going, it stabbed you from the front and now you flipped everything. You're like almost like you went through a hangman moment so that to empty out the pockets of all this, the spikes that stabbed you. And I don't feel like you have spikes in places where you couldn't have possibly done it without other people did it.
Mm.
Some of them are yours. Some of them are at least two other people.
Mm.
And then
name names.
I wish. But I feel like just like your mother with the feathers, I feel like this is a feather. So like you had like crows around you that are motherfucking falling through the cracks, and now you're angelically guided.
This is a past cup, you think?
I think this cup is getting empty right now, emptying out. I don't know if you're in the end of emptying it out. It feels like it got so thick, what was in here, that is like a ketchup. Like, it's hard. It's hard to just spill. Yeah, this person was not nice to you.
Yeah.
I don't know who this person was, if it was a friend, a lover, or... But this person has thick, dark energy that it's not yours. It's like a oil spill. Like, you got, like, one of those birds. You got fucked. Someone fucked you up.
I'm a dove duck.
Yeah, you're a dove duck that is now currently oily and. But I don't feel like you. I don't feel like you're here right now. I feel like this has.
This is certainly a past.
I just feel like if you're already flipped upside down and this is already like shedding and this wing is here, this angel is here. I feel like it. This has. It's been a while. Like you're not here.
See?
Right.
You're not in the non-reverse. That's why I'm saying, I keep saying I don't read reversals, but what I'm seeing is that everything is falling out of you. It's mm-hmm. done.
Yeah.
Partly because God. You're busy. You like feel like partly you've managed your emotions by focusing on work. And that did take out a lot of the swords. Mm-hmm. That shit, mm-hmm. most of it. I don't know if you want to do, let's see bottom of the deck. Ooh, you got a page of cups.
Page of cups.
This is why it's old. Because this is, okay, so you are finally coming into this like hopeful place of celebration of feelings while you were like maybe a month ago, still recent. I mean, the swords are still falling, mm-hmm. but maybe a month ago you could not have seen a page of cups vibe at all. Yeah. But now you're like, maybe certain emotions are okay. Maybe flirting is okay. Or maybe I can approach certain people a certain way and it's okay. Mm-hmm. And it's safe. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that they're going to be, you know, and you're not have illusions with eternal, you know, forever craziness. But you are definitely in a place where you're like seeing the light at the end of the tunnel and being playful about it, enjoying it and kind of being. See, the same person is still watching. I feel like you do have a guide with you. I don't know. There's someone with you who's like, any misstep, it's kind of like being like, no. Someone's like, I'm not saying intervening in your free will, but definitely willing to move as much as they can so that you can be clear, so that you don't fall unnecessarily, because there are falls that you need to take, right? But there's like, or efforts that you need to make, but there's like puddles that you don't need to step on.
Yeah,
that's not what's gonna teach you the lesson.
Yeah,
like I feel like there's someone along those lines around you, because it's here and it's here and it's here. Although these are employers, I think. Yeah, does this make sense? I'm glad that you said that it's past, because it is. It feels like
this is. I really feel like you're nailing it on the head for me, which is specifically this. This swords energy in relation to the cups. I don't read tarot. I don't think as regularly as you do, but I do know that cups are kind of emotion.
Yes,
and swords are
your emotional. The pain. Moon, basically.
And and so I do feel like I've come to a new understanding about my emotional threshold, my emotional ability, and I've been asking new questions about when it comes to my emotions or passions or feelings that I'm feeling, how I can hold the space for them without sacrificing them or giving them over to unnecessary pain. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like kind of that those emotions are mine to experience.
Yes.
And that other people might be a part of them, but there's agency and power in me holding those feelings in myself.
Yes, for sure. And I feel like,
and enjoying them again, because I haven't enjoyed them in a long time.
And I feel like this, there's a height of emotions we can feel, but maybe the situation, the way we're doing it, we're going about it in a way that's not necessarily, it's not for us.
Yeah.
And then you can go from a king to a page, all the way down to a page, but do it right.
Yeah.
You know, versus like being a king of what? Of nothing. A king of cups. That's of I'm the king of the rotten emotions. Like, you can, then let's just, I'd rather be a page and be very slow and like check it out and like be a little
learn it
shyer
over again.
and start from a better place where I don't feel like, I don't like, I'm not attracting these attacks.
Right.
On myself and letting them happen too, because this Ten of Swords is a very dramatic card in a way. Like you, that's why I'm saying like some of the swords were you, because you put yourself in those situations. But some of them, it's truly backstabbing, you know, from other people. But there's a reason why they're doing that, or they think they can do that, and it's us allowing.
Mm-hmm.
It's always us allowing.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Sometimes it's hard to hear, because I mean, I've allowed this so many times.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think I'm coming into new understanding about the ways I didn't know I was allowing that.
Yes, exactly. You know? So that's what I mean. Like, I was talking with Mike our previous episode about how the acceptance of the self and how I can accept how I see myself being a little evil with another person or a little evil, a little sneaky about trying to get something, you know, like, I don't know. Oh, I got this discount and it's like not supposed to happen, but I asked the girl and like she gave it to me, like those like little sneaky things. And I can like reconciliate with that sneakier side of me, or mm-hmm. like, oh, I like told this guy this thing so that he would like that, whatever.
Yeah.
And it's so much harder when you actually don't know that you're doing it. When yeah. you don't know, oh, that's me. That's yeah. me sabotaging. That's me allowing. That's me. My shadow is
yeah.
super present.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
active. And activating things in my life.
Right.
Yes. I like your read. And I like that I feel like you are about, I mean, you're working towards something. And this is what's fueled this as well.
Yeah.
I don't know how you feel about this. Either way, I feel like this is a feeling of New York City.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
is what New York City feels like. Yeah, where it's yeah. like you're holding so much and trying so hard and you're like lugging literally weight around town.
Yeah.
To make your to build your apartment, to make your life, to like do your day.
Yeah.
But it's not without reward.
Yeah.
And maybe you're in a moment where you like can finally see the end of the hustle tunnel.
Yeah.
You're coming out of tunnels.
Yes.
Tunnel. This is a tunnel. This is a tunnel.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. You're ready yeah. to celebrate a
this
little.
This is, yeah, feels very resonant. I mean, yeah.
Good. I'm glad.
Yeah. What's crazy too is somebody just sent me this card because they said they liked it and it came up in my reading.
What card?
This, the Ten of Swords. They really? Don't know anything about it, I don't think, but they were like, I like how this looks. And I was like, okay.
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
I deeply resonate with this image. Yeah. This like gnarly image.
Or they found it funny and I was like,
this specific card? No, this
right,
deck.
I know.
This deck?
Not
no,
this
no,
deck.
No, the Rider Waite.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I see it as a drama card because no one needs Ten Swords to die.
Yeah.
So like,
yeah. It's oh my God. I mean, talk about the death of drama.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, Lynch. Lynch. I don't know why I say Lynch.
David
lynching.
Lynch.
Lynching. That's what oh, I say. Wow. Like, it's a lynching card. It's like, everyone backstabbed me. And it's like, did they? Yeah. Or do you feel like that?
Or that was what was felt or something. I don't know yeah. if that felt quite the. I mean, I think I think what I resonate with is the release of maybe the martyrdom around this feeling of this card. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. I feel like it's a card of ending an emotional cycle that was painful.
Yeah.
So that can come about in so many different ways. I feel like there's like some thick negative emotions that were draining you and kind of like making you slow, like that yeah. bird. And that is coming out of the cup. Like this is, you're accepting this release.
Yeah.
This is all coming out. Mm-hmm. Just as the same time as like these are coming out, this baby project, this like manifestation of material desires or well-being is also coming out.
Yeah.
So as you open space in your body by taking those things that are occupying
yeah.
you unnecessarily, you leave room for other things to like
yeah.
take over those spaces.
Yeah, wow.
So I feel like that's what's happening. And you have a newfound like emotional life to that's new. It's like ready to be explored.
Yeah.
But it's not stained or this is like, and this is how you feel about your projects or whatever it is that you're materializing. Because your projects can also be like making my room beautiful. Like that's mm-hmm. also, I mean, it's not my comedy project, but it's definitely like mm-hmm. my project. You know, right, like right. my baby mm-hmm. is my room. It's like yeah. so important. Mm-hmm. It's the womb where I lay yeah. at night. Wow, okay, I'm glad it resonated. I always get nervous that people are gonna be like, nope.
Yeah, I know. And,
but I still also like kind of want that to happen so that I can be.
Has it happened yet?
No. If anything, they can be like, I don't feel like that now. Or like you were correcting a little bit, like, this passed. This happened. So yeah. I'm like, okay, good. But ultimately, it doesn't matter because it's about you, what you can get out of seeing these images in me talking to you. It's not about me proving that I can read the cards, you know? Yeah. It's more like, I hope it invites some kind of analysis for yourself that's useful.
Yeah.
That comes from outside of your head versus like what we were talking about, like the eternal ruminating.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Wow, thank you.
Of course. Thank you for being here. Yeah. Thank you for being here. Okay, I'm going to put these here. Unless it's too strong of an energy, I'll pick them up. What do you want? What do you want? I'll put them here. Okay, so we are about ready to conclude this episode. I'm going to do the interactive read. I know I gave you my chart, but...
Yeah, I would love to... Could I look at it for a second?
And we're... Half a thing.
Is there one? Yeah, I'll say half a thing. What do you? Is there anything you want me to? Well, hold on. Let me just. I'll give a hot take. But I am.
Oh, okay. Well, you want to come out?
What happened?
Just talking to my deck.
Oh.
Just talking to my deck.
Your moon's in the eighth house.
What is that?
That. Gives sort of a propensity and an interest in the occult and what you're doing.
I can see
that. Moon in the eighth house is interest in the forbidden.
That's me.
Yeah.
I have a problem.
Eighth house is the house of mystery and secrets.
The underworld.
The underworld, really. Transformation. It's also the house of sex, death, rebirth, you know, everybody.
Sex, death.
So Sun in the sixth house, healing.
Forbidden.
Mercury in the fifth, funny. Uranus in the 12th.
What is that?
Transformative, spontaneous, dramatic.
Dramatic
revelations in the world of your spiritual life.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. They're always like, they come in like in dramatic ways.
Yes, that's Uranus. Ways. Uranus is a planet of spontaneity, and the 12th house is the unconscious.
Oh,
so it's kind of like lightning bolts into your subconscious.
Yeah, Uranus has fun with me. Yesterday was all the males in my life came to me in a way or another. All of the people I've had sex with.
Came up?
Not everyone. Everyone I've had a kind of a relationship with. Ex-boyfriends, as you call them.
They came up all yesterday?
Yeah.
Wow.
In very interesting ways, too. Yeah. Either I interacted with them or found out about them or heard about them or were mentioned or literally showed up in my timeline, even though I don't follow them. Or it was a lot.
You just got an email by Judaism by choice.
Thank you. It's Rabbi Neil Weinberg, who is a saint.
Yeah.
Of being an OCD person.
That's a rabbi.
He's a beautiful man. Yeah. So he told me that these lines that you see when you see a chart are tensions.
Well, they're aspects. So the tensions he's referring to are the squares and oppositions and the lines in red. Those aren't bad things. They're more sort of like these tensions, thematic tensions that are worked out in your lifetime.
I see.
So you might have two themes sort of in opposition with each other. Let me look here. There's one between this Uranus in the 12th that we were talking about and your Sun in the 6th house. So a 6th and 12th opposition, the 6th house is ruled by Virgo. It's health and healing, ritual, exercise, kind of like daily grind routine stuff.
That's my hardest.
Yeah, yeah. That's your hardest? You struggle with that? Well, that's what this opposition might be pointing to. Sort of a tension to be worked out between your belief systems and your feelings of faith and spirituality as they apply or how they interact with the process of your routine. Do they help the process of your everyday, or do they hurt it?
I see.
You know?
Interesting. We were talking about the daily card and whether it helps my routine or not, and I said, I don't have a routine.
Yeah, and it's opposed to your Mercury, too. So this, you talking about it and you doing this podcast has a lot to do with finding out what that internal work around your belief systems are and the healing modality of these belief systems, challenging how healing they are for you or for other people. They are, but like, in what ways does that
actually
come up as healing?
Yeah.
You know?
Wow, very interesting.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I really appreciate it.
Yeah,
thank
I'd be
you.
Happy to go in depth whenever.
It's so nice, right? I have a lot of things in Gemini, or on this side, let's just say. And then there's so much on this other side.
Yeah.
I like my... Mars in...
He was talking about the Pluto in your 10th house trining your Jupiter.
Yeah.
That's what he meant by... So your Pluto's in your 10th house, which means... you'll have a transformative relationship, powerful transformative relationship to authority and status. And that's what the 10th house is when he brings up like famous people or whatever. 10th house is just recognition. And that's in positive aspect to your Jupiter, which is a planet of expansion. People say it's like a good luck planet, but there's more going on to Jupiter than just that. And that's in your first house, which is your self-expression. So there's powerful positive energy between... status, authority, and just the simple expression of you.
I love that because that's what I want to do. I want to just express things and for people to watch them and and give me money and also just like change through them.
Yeah, and your midheaven's and we can.
What's midheaven? I want to know about it.
Your midheaven is
It's
in Libra, yeah. It's the highest point of your chart. So if you're looking at it from a spatial relationship, the midheaven is the highest point and like a 3D map of your chart. So what it has to do is like your work on a huge, on a level where people don't know who you are when they see your work, it has an influence of Libra, which is a beautiful sign. It's a sign of, it's ruled by Venus, a sign of harmony.
Balance.
Beauty,
interpersonal relationship,
exactly.
Balance in them.
Yeah, so there's sort of like a hint of the beautiful that goes over whatever it is you're working out in these conversations personally. So like if you're thinking about routine and maybe it's like the guitar, you know, there's like sort of this beautiful musical lyrical undercurrent to these questions about your health, your faith, your what you believe in and how it applies to your daily life.
So it's almost aesthetic the way...
It's almost aesthetic, perfect way to say it.
The way I could question my routines and my beauty and my...
It shows up in an aesthetic way that is like pleasing to other people.
I understand. That could be a way for me to heal that side of me.
Aesthetically. Yeah.
Aesthetically.
It's also something you're moving towards in this life, so it's sort of like... a way of integrating those ideas.
I love that. Yeah. I love that so much. I love that so much.
Cool.
I want to thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
So you guys, now you know, I'm going to do the interactive read, which I didn't do last time, but here it is. So I'm going to ask you all at home or in your plazas, wherever it is that you are at.
And if you're at the plaza,
if you're
stop
at
everything.
The plaza. Washing your clothes, stop everything. I feel like I'm in a Star Trek episode. Stop everything and start thinking about something that's... It can be a topic like my dog or my kids or whatever, or it can be a more specific question. Just don't ask yes or no questions because, as I've said before, this won't answer that. I mean, maybe you'll know inside of your heart, but I'll never say yes, do it. No, don't do it. I was talking to Susanna yesterday about how when a tarot reader, she was like, oh, you should do my tarot. And I'm like, okay, I just, so you know, I don't do a divination, like future, because I don't like it. And she told me about someone who did like, oh, you're going to die.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's so irresponsible.
Yeah.
To program something like someone
mm-hmm.
like that when free will is the ruling thing that we have. It's like the main thing. I mean, there's a lot of destiny energies, whatever we're working with, and sometimes our path happens away and you don't know why, but I feel like free will is the most important thing that you can make sure that everyone knows they have.
Yeah.
And I would never want anyone to think that they don't have it, even if they have a card that says something else.
Right.
You can just choose. And that's why I like skeptics.
Yeah.
Because they fight shit.
Yeah.
You know? Okay, so you've thought about your topic while I like fucking And then I'm going to pull three cards, right? So card number one, card number two. Well, I saw it, but it doesn't matter. Card number three. Now you're going to pick a number between one and three. And if you pick the card number one, don't change your number. That's your number. Okay, card number one. You got the Five of Cups. So whatever topic is in your thoughts right now, if you're feeling disappointed about it, if you're feeling like you've wasted your time, if you're feeling disillusioned by it, just don't worry, because what you're seeing right now is the spilled milk. But if you just look back or to another direction, or eventually once you feeling ready to look up, you'll find that there are two other cups full of new adventures and emotions right behind you. So if it's about work, maybe you're right now feeling like you're putting so much effort and emotions and like no one's appreciating you, don't you worry, someone is. And if not, you can do it yourself. If it's about love, maybe if this doesn't start feeling like this is not the right relationship, let it go, because it might be toxic. I'm not saying break it up, but like at least for now, in your feeling, in your thoughts, let it go. And stop looking at what got spilled or what was wrong, and start imagining what would your ideal soulmate forever relationship be like. And start getting into that positive mode of what could be, instead of only focusing on what negative thing has happened. But the Five of Cups says that there is hope, even if you are feeling right now like there's not. And if you pick card number two, we have the Judgment card. So funny we're talking about Jewish holidays, because this is my Rosh Hashanah card, my Yom Kippur card, where this to me feels like there's a second opportunity, a second chance coming up for you. If you feel like maybe you lost something, there's an opportunity for you to like make peace. If something is dying right now and ending fully, there's a rebirth after that. And it doesn't need to be like the same project, but maybe there are pieces of the project that you can salvage and then like make it, like transform it into a new day, you know, a new thing. If it's a relationship, maybe it's about a second chance, but maybe it's also about looking at what's good. It's like a list of the positive. I feel like this is a card of reevaluating right now what you're seeing in your world, right? Think of it. What comes from like yourself, and what have you manifested that you don't like? What have you manifested that you do like? And choose the ones that you like. And maybe it's a time to make a list, cons and pros about yourself, and see what things that you can improve right now, because it's a time where like those changes could be decisive for you. And now if you pick card number three, also Judgment feels like you're sifting through life. So right now you're in a moment where you're deciding what stays and what goes. Be very mindful of how you pick with your highest good in your mind. If you pick card number three, you got the card of Temperance, which is blending, which is oddly the same angel. I feel like everyone said this interactive read is all about seeing what's been lived so far and seeing what things you're going to take to your new life and creating a new life that's different than what you had before, where you eliminate lower energy, lower vibration. So the card of Temperance is like, if you're asking about a relationship, it feels like a soulmate connection, or at least a relationship that right now can be fruitful for you, for your emotional learning. If it's about a job, remember to use things that you've used before that are successful, but be flexible to new techniques or ways to do your work. It might mean that it's a card of bringing what works from the past and being open to the future. And then the card of Judgment is similar. It's like bringing what works to the afterlife and then living your next life as more elevated, right? And the Five of Cups is similar. It's a less elevated, less spiritual way of seeing. It's like seeing what emotions have been spilled and now taking the ones that haven't to the future with hope, right? So whatever card you pick, the message seems like the same, which is take what works, leave what doesn't, and look into the highest, the better thoughts that you can have, not the lowest thoughts. Go optimistic, not pessimistic. It's not a time for that because you're manifesting shit right now. All of you. All right. Thank you, Amy, for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for waiting while I do that. Thank you so, so much. This was so interesting and so fun. Very deep. And I'm so thankful it happened that it was here in New York and that you were super into it, I think, hopefully.
Yeah. No, it was great.
Is there anything you want to plug or let people know to visit you on social media or?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm Amy Zimmer on, I'm one Amy Zimmer on Twitter. I'm AE Zimmer _ on the Instagram. Yeah. And I don't know. You can follow there for more if you want.
And that was fantastic, right? If you're
in New
York City. That was
fantastic. Monthly show. And stay tuned for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. And thank Peter Markendall for his.
Thank you, Peter.
Wonderful for the riffs. And thank me for.
Thank you.
Thank me. You know what? Thank me. Bye.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ Forever Dog Team and liking our page on Facebook.